And when you want more of something, provide it. Rule of life number 11. When you want more of something, provide it. Love is unlimited, and love can be defined in one word: freedom. When we love, we give freedom to another to be exactly who they are. Anything which does not provide perfect freedom to another is not love, but some counterfeit variety. And the reason that love is freedom is because the soul is freedom and the soul is love. Your soul is perfect freedom. The soul is unconfined, unrestricted, and unlimited. I am now describing God. God is that which is unrestricted, unlimited, and unconfined. And God and the soul are one. Therefore, the attributes of God are the attributes of the soul. God, therefore, and the soul are one in their attributes. The soul is, therefore, unrestricted, not confined, and unlimited. It is the essence of unlimitedness itself. God and the soul and love are one, because God is love. Therefore, love is that which is unlimited, unrestricted, and never confined. Anything less is not love, but a counterfeit version. The irony of this is that we have it constructed that love is that which limits and confines. Yet it does not and never does. If your beloved therefore tells you, you may not do a thing, you may not be a thing, you may not have a thing. If your beloved ever tells you no to any request, you have not been loved. For the beloved only says yes. God only says yes. There is only one word in God's vocabulary: yes. Now I know that many of you need desperately to believe in a God who says no. But God never says no. Though you may say no to yourself and pretend that God has said no in order to justify your own self-denial. Societies will do that. Cultures will do that in an effort to control themselves, because their thought is that absent all control, they will be uncontrollable. Well, I have to tell you something. That's me. I'm uncontrollable. I am uncontrollable in the sense that you can't control that which will not be controlled, and ultimate reality will not be controlled. But the reason we think we need to be controlled is that our fear is that if all controls were loosened, we would go crazy and act in a way which is inappropriate. You see, love says yes, and all you ever want to do when you find yourself feeling love for another person is to say yes to that. Then the world will contrive to give you reasons why you must say no. Like that circle with the line through it. Just say no. And so we are conflicted. Deeply conflicted, because the heart wants to say yes. Yes to love. And yes to who we are, which is one and the same. But society will not allow it. Religion will not condone it. And our morals have no room for it. And so We've learned to be very, very careful about saying yes. And we're deeply conflicted.
Let's go a little deeper and talk about monogamy. So let's say that my partner, just absolutely theoretically, would say, I want to go out and have an affair with this other man because he's just an incredible man and I really am yearning for that. I would have a difficult time in this stage of my life today to say yes to that and say, please feel free to do that. I want to consider myself as able to give love richly and fully and deeply. And from your definition of it, clearly there are times when I limit my love then if the definition is only saying yes.
Love says, my will for you is your will for you, and love never says anything else. When love says, no, you don't understand, my will for you is my will for you, then we are not loving another, we are loving ourselves through another. That is to say, when you do what I want you to do, then I feel loved. You can demonstrate your love for me by doing what I want you to do. But real love says, I will demonstrate my love for you by allowing you to do whatever you would choose to do. Because my will for you is your will for you. This is God's love. This is God's statement. My will for you is your will for you. And this is the promise of God we cannot believe. And this is the commitment of God we cannot accept.
I'd imagine that my partner and I could have a discussion about this and see if we can find a point of view that perhaps both of us might agree upon.
That would not be an invalid discussion.
Okay.
It would be a hell of a lot better than a flat no, wouldn't it? Love never says no.
Well, again, it's very interesting. It's just a powerful statement that love never says no. I want to kill myself. And love would then say, well, if that was your will for yourself, then, and that's what you choose, then please choose that. Rather than saying, well, I'm going to call the police and I'm going to not allow you to do that right now.
And often it goes beyond that. Often the spouse says, will you help me? Now, it's all right for us to express our feelings. Gosh, I wish you wouldn't. But after expressing, whether it's about having another lover or leaving your life, you know, if you feel that you wish that they wouldn't, you could say to your spouse, you know, because I have a different model of the world, I wish you wouldn't do that. And you would express your truth. You would not set aside your truth. You would express your feeling. You would not set aside your feeling. But then having expressed it, if you truly love, you will say, I wish you wouldn't take another lover. And if that's what you choose, I will not because I cannot stop loving you. How could I stop loving you? Unless, of course, I love you if. If you're playing, I love you if, then of course you could stop loving another. I want to read something to you from the manuscript to Book 3. And in the manuscript to Book 3 are the marriage vows that Nancy and I took when we chose to become united in matrimony. And these are the vows that we wrote. These are the words that the minister said. This is a ceremony in which Nancy and Neil share their understandings and commemorate that sharing. Now, Neil and Nancy, you have told me it is your firm understanding that you are not entering into this marriage for reasons of security, that the only real security is in not owning or possessing, nor in being owned or possessed, not in demanding or expecting, and not even in hoping that what you think you need in life will be supplied by the other, but rather in knowing that everything you need in life, all the love, all the wisdom, all the insight, all the power, all the knowledge, all the understanding, all the nurturing, all the compassion, all the strength resides within you. And that you are not marrying the other in hopes of getting these things, but in hopes of giving these things that the other might have them in even greater abundance. Is that your firm understanding tonight? And we both said, it is. And Nancy and Neil, you have told me it is your firm understanding that you are not entering into this marriage as a means of, in any way, limiting, controlling, hindering, or restricting each other from any true expression and honest celebration of that which is the highest and best within you, including your love of God, your love of life, your love of people, your love of creativity, your love of work, or any aspect of your being which genuinely represents you and brings you joy. Is that still your firm understanding tonight? And we answered, it is. And finally, Nancy and Neil, you have said to me that you do not see marriage as producing obligations, but rather as providing opportunities. Opportunities for growth, for full self-expression, for lifting your lives to the highest potential, for healing every false thought or small idea you ever had about yourselves, and for ultimate reunion with God through the communion of your two souls. This is holy communion, a journey through life with one you love as an equal partner, sharing equally both the authority and the responsibilities inherent in any partnership, bearing equally what burdens there be, basking equally in the glories. Is that the vision you wish to enter into now? And we said, it is. And then the minister said, I give you these red roses, symbolizing your individual understandings of these earthly things that you both know and agree how life will be with you in bodily form and within the physical structure called marriage. Now take these white roses as a symbol of your larger understandings of your spiritual nature and your spiritual truth. It stands for the purity of your real and highest self. And then we exchanged these vows. I, Neil, ask you, Nancy, to be my partner, my lover, my friend, and my wife. I promise and I pledge my own deepest friendship and love, not only when your moments are high, but when they are low. Not only when you remember clearly who you are, but when you forget. Not only when you are acting in love, but when you are not. I will seek always to see the divinity within you, and seek always to share the divinity within me. It is my intention to be with you forever, in a holy partnership of the soul, that we may do together God's work, sharing all that is good within us with all those whose lives we touch. And this much more I pledge and promise to you. I will never say no. And each morning Nancy and I give each other our rings back. And each morning we renew that intention. I choose you again this day. Without limitation, without restriction, my will for you is your will for you. When you can look at your beloved and say, our marriage is not an obligation but an opportunity, and my will for you is your will for you, you will have truly loved.